Church Disciples of Christ, Monday Manna Bible Study, and we are here waiting for you to come on in.
And we know you're going to do just that, and as you're tuning in, let us know that you're getting a clear signal tonight as we prepare for this time together. For truly, this is indeed the day the Lord has made, and we're determined to rejoice and be glad in it. We're going to talk about a very interesting topic tonight, centered around stewardship and just understanding our role and our responsibility and what God requires of us, and being clear in terms of the whole definition, and then talk a little bit about ownership and what it means to be responsible and some of the principles that are aligned with stewardship. And I think many times people don't get a sense of that, and they mistakenly think that what they're doing for their own good. But really, we are just doing what God has. We're trying to be, I guess, what would you say? We're just being responsible stewards of that which God has blessed us with. Would that be a good way of assessing
that? Yes.
And so I apologize for my phone there. Some one of the members, they don't know we had a Bible study at 6 o'clock, but hopefully they'll get the message and figure that out. But we praise God for each of you. Let us know you're getting a clear signal tonight. And so we have a responsibility as stewards, right?
Absolutely.
And God has invested and entrusted in us a major responsibility as stewards. And so there are some principles, there's some responsibility, and as well as accountability. Would you agree with me on that,
yes,
Reverend?
Yes.
And so we're going to touch a little bit on that tonight, but this is going to be a full plate for us. We want to go ahead and get started. We had a full day on yesterday, and we praise God for each of you who were able to participate and be a part of all of the activities that took place on yesterday. But let's start with a word of prayer. And then, of course, as you already know, this is the Lady Kim show on Monday nights. And so you can tell by the expression on her face that she's anxious and she's raring and ready to go. See? See there?
I am anxious and raring and ready to go, but this is not the Lady Kim show. That kind of rhymed, didn't it?
It did.
Yeah, this is the Dr. Murray show.
Well, both of us are doctors. So.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
It's the Dr. Murray show.
Was that what you had implied when
Absolutely.
You said that?
Okay. The Dr. Murray show.
All right. That has a nice ring to it. Well, let's have prayer, and then we're going to go ahead and get started. Somebody let us know you're getting a clear signal. We see several of you are on, but let us know you're getting a clear signal as we prepare for this time together tonight. Or give us a thumbs up as we prepare to engage in our study tonight. God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for our lives. We do thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence. We're clear and we understand that in you we live, move, and have our being. And we understand that we're nothing without you. So we pray, dear Lord, your choicest blessings to be upon us as we engage in this time together tonight, as we center ourselves and settle ourselves and hear what the Spirit of the Lord God is saying unto the church. You said in your word, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord God is saying unto the church. So we pray, the Lord, that our ears might be clear in terms of what it is you're saying to us, and that we won't be distracted by what the world might be saying. And so we thank you for our faith, how it's going to increase tonight as a result of this time that we're going to spend together. And so we ask now that the words of our mouths and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. So we love you and we honor you, and we thank you for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray. And those who love God said amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, what is today's date? Today's date 19. Is the 19th of August. And before you know it, it'll be out of here, right?
Yes.
And so we praise God. Somebody let us know you're getting a clear signal. Give us a thumbs up or a heart, some indication that you can hear us and that the signal is coming through. Of course, we have two different platforms that we have our study on Monday nights through our streaming platform as well as through Facebook Live. Just somebody who's on, just give us an indication that you can hear us and that the sound is coming through. We're waiting on you. All right, well, let's go ahead and get started, Lady Kim. Yesterday, I tell you, the Lord has been favorable for us among ATOP and the worship experience, and he's shown himself strong on our behalf. And so we praise God for another powerful time in the Lord on yesterday.
Amen.
And we're certainly grateful for the Lord continuing to add to the church daily such as should be saved. And we look forward with eager anticipation in terms of what God is going to do. I get up every Sunday and every day anticipating a mighty move of God and just kind of being on tiptoe and expecting something powerful to happen. I come with a spirit of expectation and believing that God is going to do something different. You know, he's already blessed in a powerful and a mighty way. Wouldn't you agree with me on that? And the last couple of Sundays before yesterday, you set the tone for the house and you preached two powerful words that really helped establish where we were going and what we were trying to accomplish, as you talked about prayer, and then you talked about how important it is for us to understand that we're called to not just do church, but to be the church.
Amen.
And we are to live out the Great Commission. Isn't that what you said?
That's it. That's it.
And so on yesterday, I looked over and I asked, were you taking notes? And you were looking right at me. So you had already took your notes by that time.
I take notes throughout the Sunday.
But when I asked you during that time, you were not, you were not engaged.
I had just gotten through typing a sentence.
Okay, so you were not doing it when I looked at you at that particular time.
No, not at that particular
so
time.
So that's what I'm trying to get to. But tell us a little bit about what you heard in the spirit and what God was saying as you were taking notes, as we talked about, because of your sacrifice. Because of your sacrifice. And we looked at that passage in Psalm 50. And I don't think very many people have kind of introduced themselves to that psalm. But there are some very strategic verses in that psalm that help us understand what God requires and what God expects and about related to our sacrifice.
Amen. Well, like you said, the sermon title was Because of Your Sacrifice,
mm-hmm.
Psalm 50, verses 5 through 7, and then verses 14 and 15.
Okay.
And it's it says, call my followers together. They offered me a sacrifice, and we made an agreement. The heavens announced God is the judge, and he is always honest. My people, I am God. Israel, I am your God. Listen to my charges against you. And then skipping down to 14 and 15, I am God Most High. The only sacrifice I want is for you to be thankful and to keep your word. Pray to me in time of trouble. I will rescue you and I will honor you. And you didn't get to your points yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you did have several points that they did not put up on the screen, but we will talk about those next week. But you talked about how our sacrifice has not gone unnoticed by God.
Okay.
And that we are blessed because of God's sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
But not only are we blessed because of God's sacrifice, we're blessed because of our sacrifice.
Okay.
And that God only requires us to be obedient to his word and to be thankful and to keep his our word towards him. So if we make a promise or if we make a statement to God, a vow,
mm-hmm.
then we need to keep that vow.
Okay.
We need to keep what we say to God. That's what that particular verse is saying. And we're anointed because of our sacrifice.
Okay, okay.
And then you talked about a season of witness, sacrifice, and prayer.
Mm-hmm.
That we have to be in a season of witness, sacrifice, and prayer. We need to be serious about our witness. How we spread the gospel mm-hmm. of Jesus Christ. And I think that goes along with when I talked about in the sermon, are you doing church or being church?
Right.
You know, when you're being the church, you're spreading the gospel, you're witnessing about God's saving grace and mercy. And we need to heed his standard and govern our behavior. And his standard is set high. And so we need to strive towards meeting the standards of God daily. And then we must be hearers of the word and doers of his word. And the last thing I have is the act of giving up something valuable for the sake of something else was your definition of sacrifice.
Okay. And part of that has to do with sacrifice really is something that that will cost you something.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that you will... It will hurt in a real sense because of the sacrifice that you are making that is beyond the norm in terms of you just giving something to satisfy, or it's not always about giving, but you're just doing something to satisfy whatever the particular situation might be, rather than going all the way out and making the necessary adjustment to do what God would have you to do. A good example, and I was talking about several examples of some of the sacrifices that we find ourselves in, even in relationships. Sometimes we settle for less than what God requires,
mm-hmm.
and we'll find ourselves in situations pleasing our own motives and our own desire, rather than trying to accommodate what God would say and what God would do in a situation. And so many people are in toxic relationships because they have not made the necessary sacrifice that brings glory and honor to God.
Amen.
Would you agree with me on that?
That's correct, yes.
So it's not just in our giving, but it's in our time, it's in our resources, it's also in
our talents.
Mm-hmm. In terms of what we present to God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that passage in Romans 12 really highlights that for us in terms of what God requires of us. Paul in Romans 12, 1 and 2 said, I beseech you, in other words, I urge you, I plead with you, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so what really jumps out, there's several things that jump out of that passage for me, is that God is not looking for a dead sacrifice.
Wow.
God is not looking for a pigeon or a dove,
mm-hmm.
like he did in the Old Testament,
right.
But he's looking for a living sacrifice. And so we have to place ourselves on the altar, and not in terms of being a dead sacrifice, but our body should be presented as a living sacrifice. So God does something in our hearts that allows us to understand it's about our behavior toward him and making the necessary adjustments in our behavior so that it might bring glory and honor to him.
Amen.
So he doesn't want us to get caught up in the things of the world. Would you agree with me on that?
Absolutely.
And that we might do what is pleasing in his eyesight. And so many times people, when they read that passage, they think that, well, how can I be a living sacrifice? Well, God is not interested in a dead sacrifice. He wants your body to be a living sacrifice to him, and your body is the temple of God. Thus, he wants your behavior to match your belief and align yourself with what he's saying in his word, and that's what brings glory and honor to his name.
Mm-hmm.
I think even in that last part of the 50th chapter of the 50th Psalm, Well, he says, this is the sacrifice, really, that I'm pleased with, mm-hmm. is that you give me thanks. Mm-hmm. How does it say? How does he say it?
The only sacrifice I want is for you to be thankful and to keep your word.
And to keep your word. Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. So God says, you know, all of that other fluff, all of that other stuff, it's I'm really not that interested in that. I want you to be thankful for what I've done for you, thankful for how I've already provided and how I've already healed. And when you think about what I've done for you, then that should create an atmosphere that will allow you to know that you are blessed because of your sacrifice.
Amen. And you'll be blessed beyond measure because of your sacrifice. And you talked about it yesterday. It's not equal giving, mm-hmm. but equal sacrifice. A lot of times we want to look at what somebody else is giving. And we might say, well, you know, so-and-so got it going on. I don't have it going on like that, so I can't do anything.
Okay.
But everybody can do something.
Right.
And you said it's not equal giving, but equal sacrifice. You ever heard the saying, give till it hurts?
Right.
That's when you're making a sacrifice, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. when you're giving until it hurts. Sacrifice means that you're putting it all out there.
Right, right.
You know, so.
You're all in.
Right.
Mm-hmm,
all
mm-hmm,
in. Mm-hmm. Putting it all on the table.
Right.
Amen.
So that's part of what we were trying to, and you know, set the tone for. There are several points that we're going to try to come back to on this Sunday and bring out. But we started to talk a little bit about our capital improvement campaign and how important it is for us to understand that we're blessed because of our sacrifice and that God honors the sacrifice that we make. And I realize, and many of you who are viewing tonight know that on the regular, you make significant sacrifices for the kingdom that goes unnoticed by man.
Amen, that's true.
But it needs to be understood, and it needs to be clear that it does not go unnoticed by God. And you are still moving and having your being, and a lot of that has to do not only with the grace of God, but it has a lot to do with the sacrifices that you made.
Amen.
That brings glory and honor to God.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. So after we finished up on yesterday, of course, the Lord added to the church. There were, three people? Two and one rededication that
yes.
came forth. And a young lady going to be baptized this Sunday. And we have two baptisms scheduled with her included. And we're looking forward to that. And we praise God for how he continues to add to the church.
Amen.
And I tell you, you know, I don't be trying to put people on the spot, Lady Kim, but, you know, I be trying to be led by the Spirit and not. People see me coming, they be saying, oh, Lord. But I be trying to listen, you know, to what God is saying. And 99% of the time, you know, he's
he doesn't lead you wrong.
Right. So we praise God for how he's blessing us, even in spite of ourselves. We had a wonderful time in our new members class. We shifted that from Saturday to Sunday. I believe we had about 15 new members in participation mm-hmm. for that, during the Sunday school time, and just getting them ready for being coming, and then we're going to just transfer that same momentum over into the Sunday school so that they can add numbers to what we're already doing. Sister Rucker is doing an excellent job in the Sunday school, and when we had our report during the mid-year, she said the goal that was set for the beginning of the year of having at least 100 in Sunday school, she said that they were meeting that, and so we praise God for that. So after which we get loaded up and got on the road, and tell us a little bit about what happened as we made our way to Little Rock, Arkansas.
Yes, we traveled to Little Rock, Arkansas to the Mount Olive Baptist Church where Pastor Keith Williams and First Lady Minister LaShawna Williams are there doing a wonderful
job.
Doing a wonderful work. We feel so welcome and so blessed to be in their company. And what a time we had.
Absolutely.
What a time we had. And so we just thank God for their hospitality. And we say congratulations on 121 years
of
ministry in the same spot.
Same location.
In the same spot there on Cedar and Pine, I believe.
I believe so.
In Little Rock, Arkansas. And what a warm fellowship we had. So thank God for us. And then you preached a powerful sermon on last night, God's Building Tools.
God's Building Tools.
God's Building Tools. And you, it came from Matthew, the 16th chapter, verses 13 through 19. And it talked about how God uses a man to build, and how God said, I will build my church in the gates of, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Mm-hmm.
And you brought out the fact that God didn't say he would create the church. You know, he created the heavens and the earth. God didn't say he was going to make the church. He made man in his own image.
Okay.
I remember that.
Okay, you and listening. You, okay, and, I see what's going on.
He said, I will build my church. And building indicates that it takes some work.
That's right. That's
and
right.
When you're working on a building, you need some tools.
That's good. That's
and,
good.
And talked about the tools that you needed. And then it talks about, and I'm going to get off of this, talks about that the other thing is that you need a message. So the message is the word of God. And then it talks about how the members have to get behind the pastor or the pastor, he or she. I was kind of sitting there squirming
for a minute
because you kept saying he.
Right.
You know, I was thinking, okay, it could be a she.
I know,
so,
right.
But then you got around to it. You said it could be he or him or her. He's looking for a vessel, willing vessel.
That's it.
So I was like, that was
intentional because I knew, and y'all already know where I am in terms of that whole philosophy and that whole dynamic about women in ministry, and that I have no quarrels with that at all. But I set that up like that so that it could really let people hear where I was actually going when I got to the vessel part.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So we talked about God's M&Ms. I could have called that God's M&Ms.
You could have.
Because the man, the message, and the members. And God says those are the tools that I use in order to build the church. And so everybody has to be in concert and working together and on one accord in order for that to happen.
Amen.
But we praise God for the Mount Olive Church in Little Rock, Arkansas, and for the warm reception, as you've indicated, that we had. And we had a good group to travel. Our ushers were present, the praise team. And the band, the full band was there, our officers and our ministers. And we had a great crowd, probably 50 plus people that showed up, and some that didn't make it to the 9:45 service in Memphis. But they managed to make
press
it.
Press their way on the
Little Rock. So, but we praise God that.
Actually, they were already there. In Little Rock. Yeah, they were there for the weekend. So.
But I almost couldn't get the car cranked up. Somebody had ran all up on me, you know, saying what I said. I said, well, I didn't put no last name to what I said. And so, but we were glad that ATOP showed up. And I tell you, did my heart good when I saw the numbers. We probably outnumbered them, I'm sure, with the people that we brought from Memphis and those who had already been down there for the weekend. But ATOP, you did the thing.
Wonderful job.
Wonderful job. And thank God for your participation and your cooperation on yesterday. All right, Lady Kim. Well, What do we have to say about tonight? We're going to talk a little bit about understanding stewardship and what God requires of us. I believe when we get a handle on understanding stewardship and what God requires, I think it's critical for us living out our faith.
Amen.
And what would you describe as a framework or a working definition of stewardship?
Well, stewardship is, you know, one who manages something for someone else.
Okay, okay.
So when we talk about biblical stewardship,
mm-hmm.
we're talking about managing what God has given us.
Okay, okay.
And then when you think about what God has given us,
wow.
He's given us everything.
Okay.
So we have to be responsible stewards for every area of our lives.
That's good.
We have to be responsible for material things.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be responsible with our time. We have to be responsible with our talent. We have to be responsible with our resources. We waste so much.
That's right. That's right.
As people of God. Mm-hmm. And so we have to be responsible stewards of every area of our lives.
Okay, that's good. Because one of the things that really, when people hear the term stewardship, automatically they think we're talking about money.
Mm-hmm.
And you were clear in terms of your definition, how it's a responsibility given to us by God to manage His creation. Would you agree with me on
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely.
The resources, the time, the talents, and our finances mm-hmm. wisely. So it's the full gamut. It's not just one particular thing, because we know that everything belongs to God. And I believe that one of the purposes behind stewardship is really for us to have a clear understanding, and our stewardship really reflects our relationship with God and how we honor Him with that which He's entrusted us with.
Amen.
Would you agree with me on that?
Mm-hmm. And I think one of the areas, one key area that we leave out is stewardship over our earth.
Okay.
God has given us this earth. We mm-hmm. only have one earth.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to take care of it. We need to make sure that we are taking care of pollution, air pollution, water quality, the environment. And so God has given it to us and entrusted it to us, and we have to take care of it. So
there was a scripture that kind of helps set the tone for that in Psalm 24:1, I think, where it talks about the earth
is
the
Lord's
Lord,
uh-huh. and the fullness thereof.
And the they world, that, and they that dwell therein. And so that gives us a clear understanding that that which God has entrusted us with is not just limited to our resources or our time or our finances,
mm-hmm.
but it's also in terms of how we manage this earth and not just pollute it. I remember when Al Gore was running for president, and he had this platform that he used talking about the environment and talked about how important it is for us to deal with this pollution. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And people,
global warming.
Global warming.
He brought that to our attention.
That's right.
Global warming.
And people really didn't take him that serious.
Mm-hmm.
And here it is, however many years later, all of what he was talking about is coming to pass.
Coming to fruition.
And mm-hmm. people mismanage and have not been stewards over that which God has entrusted us to be stewards over.
Amen. Amen. And you know, in the beginning, in Genesis, God created everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then he put Adam in the garden to work it and to take care of it. And it's clear that man was created to work, and that work is the stewardship of all of the creation that God has given him.
Okay.
So it's our job to take care of that. And that's the fundamental principle of biblical stewardship. God owns everything.
Right.
And we are simply managers or administrators acting on his behalf.
Well, tell me a little bit, Lady Kim, about how God's ownership really shapes our understanding of stewardship. That's a kind of, you know, I think it gives us clarity in terms of our responsibility and our accountability when we talk about recognizing God's ownership and how it shapes our stewardship.
Mm-hmm. Well, you talked about that responsibility piece,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so although God gives us all things richly to enjoy, nothing belongs to us.
Okay.
It's not ours. God owns everything, and we're responsible, like I said before, for how we treat it, and we're responsible for what we do with it. And while we complain about our rights here on earth, the Bible constantly asks and consistently asks, what about your responsibilities? Owners have rights, but stewards have responsibilities.
Wow. Owners have rights.
Yes.
But stewards have responsibilities.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
And we're called as God's stewards to manage that which belongs to God. While God has graciously entrusted us with the care, development, and enjoyment of everything, He owns as His stewards. We are responsible for managing His holdings well and according to His desires and purposes.
According to His desires and purposes.
Mm-hmm.
So we really have to get in shape in terms of understanding what God requires of us as stewards.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
That's right.
And I think everything that He requires of us in terms of our responsibility as well as our accountability is found in His Word.
Amen.
And so His Word is a lamp unto our feet.
Yes,
and a light unto our pathway.
Yes.
Luke, that 16th chapter, it says, "He that is faithful in that which is least will also be, is he that is faithful and that which is least is faithful also in much."
Hmm.
And so we have to not take for granted the little things.
Amen.
That God has given us responsibility over.
Amen.
And God sometimes, I believe, looks at how we manage that which is little to determine how we're going to manage that which is much.
Okay. So, in other words, you're saying if we're faithful with the $10 or if we're mm-hmm. faithful with $100,
right.
God can entrust us with $1,000 or with $10,000.
Absolutely.
Because He knows we're going to be faithful. When we're faithful in little things, then God can trust us with much more.
That's right. And so that's part of our responsibility, as stewards, to not just wait until we get the big thing and then try to handle the big thing, but we have to handle that which we already have and be prepared for that which God will give us in the future.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. So what else do you have there, Lady Kim, that you want to share with us in terms of preparation and responsibility and accountability? I know that faithfulness in small things, as you indicated and as we just finished talking about, is preparation for greater responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And I think 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, in verse numbers 6 and 7, I have it right here, is also a part of how that really opens that particular understanding up. But I say this, "He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, but he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." So it's all about a heart of generosity when it comes to us managing as well as giving back to God what He's already blessed us with. What do you think?
Amen. It is. And you know, the scripture works in the spiritual as well as in the natural.
Okay.
You said those who sow sparingly shall reap sparingly. So we can think about a farmer sowing seeds.
Mm-hmm.
If he just sows a few seeds, he's going to get, a small crop. But if he sows bountifully, if he gives sows generously, he's going to get a generous crop.
Okay.
And so the seeds you sow will determine what will grow.
Wow, that's good. Mm-hmm. The seeds you sow
will determine what will grow.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay. So in the natural, if we sow seeds of hate and bitterness and envy and jealousy, then is that what we can expect to come
Absolutely.
Back?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And it's going to come back more than what you've sown.
Wow.
Yes. But if you sow seeds, on the other hand, if you sow seeds of love and care, then you'll receive that back also.
Okay. And sometimes it comes in a different form than what we might anticipate.
Right, absolutely. Sometimes people always look for a monetary blessing, you know, but it could be in done in different ways. In your good health, it could be in, you know, sparing the life of your child. It can come in a lot of different ways.
Okay.
It can come in you getting a promotion on your job.
Okay. So those of you who have just joined us, we are certainly grateful for you participating and being a part. And we thank God for you joining us. We're talking tonight about understanding stewardship and what God requires of us. And basically, we've been sharing how that is so crucial in us living out our faith. And we need to really understand what God requires of us, and stewardship, beginning with the definition that we've already laid out, is stewardship as a responsibility given to us by God to manage His creation, to manage the resources, to manage the time, the talent, and the finances. And I think many times when people hear that word stewardship, they kind of cringe and they think that we're getting ready to ask them for some money. Would you agree with me on that?
Yeah.
But no, we have a full gamut and a full responsibility, and we're obligated to manage that which God has entrusted us with. And the word says He was faithful over a few things. God can trust you with great responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to know that part of what we are doing when it comes to us managing that which God has blessed us with is crucial to us living out our faith.
Amen.
And so if we don't live out what God has put on the inside of us, then God can't really trust us, you know. And I say oftentimes a faith that's not tested is one that cannot be trusted. And so if we're not operating in the full spectrum of being responsible and then being accountable with the small things, then it's very difficult for God to release something magnificent in your presence, knowing already that you are not going to be accountable over the big things.
Amen.
Would you agree with me on that?
Absolutely. And accountability plays a huge role, you know, as managers of the things that we possess. You know, we have to be accountable stewards. And that lesson is taught in, I think, the parable of the talents.
Uh-huh.
When He gave some 10 talents and some 5 and then some 1.
Mm-hmm.
And the key about that scripture says He gave according to their ability.
Okay.
You know, He wanted them to be accountable for what He had given them. And the one who had 10 talents went and doubled theirs. The one who had 5 talents, you know, went and doubled their talents. And the one who had 1 talent went and hid his. He was afraid. He was not an accountable steward.
Wow.
He was afraid to spend it. He said that he thought that he would be punished if he didn't have a good return on his investment.
So he saved what he had and then and was not willing to step out and risk it by faith.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And so when we're called to give account of how we have administered everything that we have been given, including our time, our money, our abilities, our information, our wisdom, our relationships, our authority, we're going to be called to the carpet on all of that at one point. And we will have to give account to the rightful owner as to how well we manage the things that He has entrusted to us.
Okay.
So we have to be careful that we are accountable for everything that God has given us.
Okay. All right. Well, as we're moving through, there are several other scriptures. Matthew, of course, the 6th chapter, And 19 through 21, it says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth. Let me see, where is it? Upon the earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures which are in heaven. Mm-hmm. And so we know that the treasures on the earth, they are temporary. Mm-hmm. They will corrode and they will perish. But when we lay up treasures in heaven, we know that they are everlasting.
Everlasting.
And that they will not be eaten by moth or corrupt or corrode, but that they will be continuous and everlasting in the sight of God.
Amen.
Okay. All right. Well, we're just kind of doing this little brief discussion tonight and just trying to bring clarity to understanding stewardship and what God requires of us and how critical that is in releasing our faith and trusting God and believing that that which God has given us, that we'll be held accountable for. And then we have responsibility as well for that which he has blessed us with. And 1 Peter says in the 4th chapter, verse number 10, as every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. And how important it is for us not to just think that what we have is for our own personal use or our own personal need. But when God blesses us, he expects us to be a blessing to somebody else.
Amen.
And how important it is for us to use our gifts and not just serving me, my Ford, no more. Mm-hmm. But it's important that we serve others within the community and that we understand clearly that we have responsibility, not just for what he has given us, but we're blessed to be a blessing.
That's right.
And we're saved by God that we might help get others saved. Mm-hmm. And so God is expecting us then to use the gifts that he's blessed us with to be a blessing to others.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so, you know, when we, our thinking gets beyond, like you say, me, my four, and no more. You know, when we be able to begin to reach beyond ourselves and our small circle, God can use us in a powerful way. And when God blesses us, when we begin to open our hands, see, we're too busy holding on to things.
Mm-hmm.
And when we can't receive with our hands closed. So when we release that which God has given us and opens our hands, now God can give us more. He can pour more into us.
Okay. So would you say then, Lady Kim, that as a result of your giving and as a result of your being willing to share that which God has blessed you with, that it has enrichly blessed your life?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And
okay.
We can look at Colossians, the 3:23-24, where Paul writes, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. So we need to serve Christ. When we know we're serving him, then we know we will be, we have our reward. The Bible shows us in the parables of the kingdom that faithful stewards who do the master's will with the master's resources can expect to be rewarded incompletely in this life, but fully in the next life.
Wow.
So all of our reward, we won't get here on this side, mm-hmm. but we'll get in heaven. And so, you know, a lot of times people give expecting to get in return. You know, they give with contingencies attached. I scratch your back, you scratch mine later on. But we should give without contingencies. We should freely give because God has freely given to us.
Okay. That's powerful. And so there's a lesson for all of us in terms of our possessions and acknowledging God's ownership and how it really changes our perspective as it relates to our money and our resources. Would you agree with me on that?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And how faithfulness and stewardship really opens the door for us to demonstrate our faithfulness and other things that God wants us to manage.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be mindful of that, and we have to show forth the praises of him who has called us out.
Okay. And, I'll be right back.
Okay. And so when we do that, we're generous in expressing our love. We're generous in the experiencing the generosity of giving and understanding how it impacts somebody else's positively in terms of how they will watch and see how you manage the resources. And it puts them in a position to see that if it's working for you, then it's a possibility that it might work for them. And so, you know, people are watching, people are engaged, people are noticing our behavior, and they are also trying to align themselves, because sometimes the only Bible that some people will read will be you. And so if you show forth false signals and you're not completely engaged to the point of being all in, then they feel that if it's not working for you, then guess what? That's right, it might not work for them. But when they see your seriousness and your dedication and your commitment, and they understand that you have a sense of prioritizing and balancing the material and the spiritual, and you know that everything that you have, everything that is God has given you to manage, then you have a better opportunity to be a reflection of the stewardship that God requires of each of us, and then perhaps help someone else grow in their faith. After all, we have been placed here to be living epistles and examples. We are to be images of the grace of God, and we are to be reflections of the stewardship that God has given us to manage, so that others might get a clear signal in terms of how God would have them to manage. And so it's important that we reflect that, and that we prioritize that which God has blessed us with, and know beyond the shadow of a doubt that we are called to help people improve. We're called to improve situations once we have been blessed, and not just to keep them the blessings to ourselves.
Amen.
Yeah. So when you left out, I was just talking about how important it is for us to share and be a reflection for others to see. And many times we are the only Bibles that some people read.
Right. That's right.
And when they see it's not working for us, then they get a clear signal that, well, it probably won't work for them.
Right.
But when they see the faithfulness and the commitment of those who have aligned themselves and they're all in, then it gives them a clear indication for them to perhaps try God for themselves.
Amen. And you know, it's a learning curve too. And it, you know, because I know as people of God and African American people, or people in general, when they grow up not having much, when they grow up in poverty, they have the mindset that they have to keep everything that they get.
Right.
You know, and one of the best examples was that you really taught me how to be a giver.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how to begin to trust God in my giving.
Who you talking about, me?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, I thought you were. I was just trying to make sure I didn't want to.
Hello,
nobody.
Anybody else in the room? Hello. Yes, you, Thomas
okay.
Murray.
All right, Thomas yes. L. Murray.
Thomas Lewis Murray.
All right. Mm. Okay, you called me by my government name. Now. All right. Go ahead.
Hello. Yes, you. and with all seriousness, you know, I grew up. You know, our family wasn't very wealthy. We struggled. My mom struggled and dad struggled to make ends meet. And so, you know, I didn't have much growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had the mindset that everything I got, I worked hard for, and I tried to keep as much as I could.
Okay.
You know, but you taught me how to give and
you breaking up. What did
to
you
be
say?
A giver.
Okay, go ahead. I'm just joking. I'm sorry.
And so, you know, to God be the glory that I learned how to be a giver, and that we are blessed to be a blessing, Sister Sharon. We're blessed to be a blessing.
Look like we're having some technical difficulties there, Reverend. I think it's in the Facebook Live process, but you're absolutely right. One of the things we want to share as we prepare to close is really how we need to make sure that we understand that God has placed a challenge before us as members of the body of Christ, and we have to start reflecting on our current situation when it comes to our stewardship practices. Mm-hmm. And we have to be clear in terms of the areas in which we can improve and how we can become better managers of that which God has blessed us with. We're having a little technical difficulty, so we hope the streaming side is still available. Look like we've lost those on the Facebook side. But we want to prepare to close out tonight with a word of prayer and asking God for wisdom in managing our resources well. And then we want to ask God to create within us clean hearts and renew right spirits, and as well as a generous heart toward others, so that we might be good stewards over the manifold blessings that he has left us in charge of.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
So we're getting some people coming back now, Reverend, but I think we're still having some difficulties. But, you know, the whole point and the emphasis of this particular time that we spent together tonight is for people to understand how important it is for us to manage properly that which God has blessed us with, and how we should focus on understanding the concepts of stewardship and applying them to our lives, not just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word as well.
Amen. Amen.
Do you have any anything else you want to add, or any prayer requests?
We do have prayer requests on tonight. We want to lift up Sister Theron C. Has requested prayers for her dad, James Robinson, who's in St. Francis Hospital. So we want to lift up Theron C.'s dad and Nora C.'s father-in-law, James Robinson, in our prayers. And we also want to lift up Sister Dorothea Robertson, mm-hmm, in our prayers, in the loss of her grandmother, Lily Davis. And so the funeral arrangements are incomplete at this time, but she said she would let us know when those funeral arrangements were complete. So we want to lift up Sister Dorothea Robertson in our prayers, as well as the father of Sister Theron C. James Robinson in our prayers.
Okay. Well, will you go ahead and close us out there, and Lady Kim, with a word of prayer? We've already lost much of our audience, but we thank God for an opportunity to yet pray around those needs and to petition the throne of God. Amen. On their behalf.
Amen. Let us go to God in prayer. Precious Jesus, we give you thanks and praise on tonight. We thank you, O God, for your reminder that you own everything.
Yes, God.
The cattle on a thousand hills belongs to you. And that you've given us stewardship responsibilities to take care of that in which you have entrusted us with. We thank you for the principles that you have laid out in your word, the principles of ownership, the principles of responsibility, God, the principle of accountability, and the principles of reward. We thank you that under the principle of ownership, that you own everything. The earth is yours, and everything is that's in it, and the world, and we, and everything that dwells therein. It that you created everything, oh God. You own it all, that nothing belongs to us, and that you've given us the principle of responsibility, and we're called to be stewards and to manage that in which you have given us, because we know it all belongs to you. And God, that you've given it to us for our enjoyment. So we have the responsibility to treat it well and to take care of it. And then the principle of accountability, God, that we are stewards and managers of the possessions, and that we are to be accountable to you for how we deal with it and how we take care of it and how we manage it. And then, God, we thank you that you give us the principle of reward, that you will reward us when you say, well done, thy good and faithful servant, that we have been faithful over a few things, that you will charge us and put us in charge of many things. We thank you that we will share in your happiness, God, because you have given us everything as a result. So God, we lift it up to you tonight, the principle of stewardship, that you would make us more conscious stewards, that you would make us more thankful stewards, that you will make us more responsible stewards for the things that you have given us. Now, God, tonight we lift up the prayer concerns of your people. We lift up Brother James Robinson, the father of Sister Theron. We lift up Sister Dorothea Robertson and the loss of her grandmother, God. We ask that you would comfort the bereaved family tonight, especially comfort Sister Dorothea's mother, God, and the loss of her mother. So we love you tonight. We ask that you would continue to bless Anointed Temple of Praise. We give you praise, honor, and glory for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do within our congregation, within our church family, and as we extend our loving arms to your community. We love you. We thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And praise God. All right. Well, thank each of you for being a part of this time together tonight. And we do apologize for the interruption. I believe the stream inside is still active. That's a playback from the earlier. But we praise God for your participation tonight.
Amen. Good night, everybody. Have a blessed rest of... Oh, don't forget, leadership retreat this weekend on Saturday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. We're looking for all of our leaders, ministers, advisory board, finance,
volunteers,
people, volunteers. We're looking for all of you to come out on this Saturday, 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock. See you on Saturday. If not on Saturday, we'll see you on Sunday, 8:30 for Bible, for Sunday school, 9:45 for worship. God bless you all. And 8:30 for new members class also. If you're a new member, we're looking for you.
Be blessed.
Good night.